And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, February the 20th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode 6. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show. Get this out of the way real quick and...
Clap, clap.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for doing this. Never how long ago you did this. Thank you for doing this. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us... Let's put this down. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat, as well as Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. Type in ingamechat. You'll be able to find us there and join the chat room live while we broadcast. Nabokov fan, James, is doing a Windows update, and he's coming right back. He is the... creator, curator of our Discord channel, which we've got. And we would love to have more of you there. If you're not sure what Discord is, just Google Discord. This is basically, this is how life works by now. I shouldn't have to tell you, if you don't know what this is, Google it. But that's exactly how it works. If you don't know what something is, you're probably almost instinctually going to Google it.
Yep.
Right? You don't even think about it anymore. It's not one of those things, oh, I can look it up on the internet. It's just instinctual. You grab your phone and you look.
Yep.
So, anyway, when he comes back into the chat room, he's going to drop a link to the Discord there. We will, we'll put that, I'll grab a link from that, or I'll talk with him, get one of those universal links that never expire, invites and stuff, and I'll put it up on our different pages and stuff so people can have access to it and get to our Discord channel. Which, by the way, James, thanks for doing that. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And, yeah, it's been 2 weeks now, and I would love to say that I have broadened my gaming horizon, but I have not.
Did you play anything at all, though?
I played, yeah, I did. Okay. I did play some stuff. I played some Assassin's Creed. I played some, I advanced a little bit in Assassin's Creed, but not in, like, I guess what would be considered the... Jeff, not James. Why did I think you were James? I don't know why I thought you were James. I know James is the ghost, but I thought you and him had the same name. But you're Jeff. Okay. I apologize, man. Jeff's going to do that. Of course, it's also been a while since... I mean, he's been showing up lately in the chat room here. Nabokov fan has, but it was a long time ago when... I knew him by his name, and I just thought him and James had the same name, but it's Jeff. So anyway, yeah, Assassin's Creed, I don't know. Obviously, most of Assassin's Creed, I would say 90% of Assassin's Creed is side story, side missions,
yeah.
You know? Whereas, like, 10% is main story stuff.
That's typically the way it goes in any exploration title. A lot of it's going to be filled up with side quests.
It's got a lot of packing in there, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
and they're necessary if you got to level up your character to get to deal with the main story.
No, I get it. I get it. It's a bag of chips, right?
Yeah.
It's most of it's air, and then there's some good stuff. But the air has to be there in order for you to get to the good stuff and so that it's, you know, stays fresh. I don't know.
Christy.
Not sure where I was going with that analogy, but yeah, well, I don't know. You're exactly right. Actually, no, this analogy works. I think this analogy, I'm going to try and maneuver myself through this and try and come out. I'll probably come out dumber than when I went in, but I was going to say smarter than when I went in. But I'm not sure about Mysteries. I haven't played it too much. I got stuck in this Thar 66 says Mysteries are the side missions now, and I'm not sure about that, but unless they're all Mysteries. I haven't played it enough to really get acclimated or consistently played it enough to get acclimated into what all these things are. I'm still seeing things on the map where I've got to go to my, the key on the map so mm-hmm. I can say, well, okay, what does this symbol mean? What does that mean is over there? Oh, okay, this. But my analogy of the potato chips, right?
Right.
So they fill the bag with air and very little potato chips, whole lot of air, and it's done that so that the bag, so the chips stay fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your main story is the chips and your side missions is the air, all the side missions are there to keep the main story fresh and not, you know, not just slug right through it. You're done with your bag of chips, and then mm-hmm. all you're left is with just throwaway stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, that's, I don't know. It didn't work. So I played some of that. There's a section of Assassin's Creed, or at least that I've noticed in this one, about the Vikings that takes place in Asgard. And you, and this is spoiler, I apologize, but so far I've enjoyed playing in Asgard. But I finished up whatever was the story there, at least the story so far, and it sent me back to the real world type stuff. Mm-hmm. And I really haven't done much there.
Yeah,
but I did a whole lot in Asgard, I thought. But yeah, so I played some Assassin's Creed, and basically the only other thing I didn't play any more Yesterday Grace. Basically was more Destiny. Mm-hmm. The new season started.
Oh.
Not last week, but the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So the new season started right after we did the last show we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so the new season's been out. This is its second week now, and I am way behind than normally where I would be on that. It's my whole afternoon like routine is a whole lot different than what it used to be. It used to be come home, go sit in front of the computer and look through news stuff, and then start playing Destiny until about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Not even eight. I could probably usually go to about 6:30 or 7, something like that. But that's when I come home, and I get off here at 3 to go home. So I had quite a lot of time to sit there and put into Destiny. But see, now my routine is come home, change clothes, exercise, because I have to do that because of my situation
mm-hmm.
With the heart and everything. I mean, I don't have to do it, but I'm better off for it.
Mm-hmm.
Than not doing it. So I got to come home, change clothes, go exercising. That takes about an hour to do that. Then I come home and I work on some work stuff that I have to do every day in the mornings here in this studio Monday through Friday. And so I work on that. By that time, it is usually around 6 or 6:30. And mm-hmm. so it's like, okay. And so I don't get to put in the time. And that's if I leave work at 3. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I leave work at 4. Sometimes it's later. So I gotta figure out something, because now what I'm doing is I'm getting up Saturday mornings and I'm playing probably 4 hours of Destiny as much as I can,
mm-hmm.
trying to catch up on stuff. And I know I'm falling behind. And so I'll get up in the morning tomorrow. Well, we're doing the raid tonight, which I have backed out of for the past, I think, 3 weeks. And I'm gonna stick with it tonight and be the support that I need to be with the group there and do the raid. But then tomorrow I'll get up and I'll do some of that before I get out and exercise again. See, this morning, got up, played Destiny. It was 7 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
7:30. I got up at 6:30 this morning, which is early for me for a weekend. But when you get up at 4:30 Monday through Friday, 6:30 is sleeping in, really.
Yeah.
Got up, played Destiny, and got done with Destiny about 10:30 or 11. Then changed clothes, went exercising for an hour. Then got a shower and, you know, came here. So, I want to figure out something that I can do so that my Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings aren't like, let's catch up as much as we can on Destiny since we haven't done anything all week.
Yeah.
I like to find some kind of like, let me just put in 30 minutes. Let me put in something like that to get some stuff done through the week to get to, so it's, you know, not as pressing and I don't fall as far behind. I say that, That feels awfully, saying that out loud feels awfully like, why do you need a schedule to play a game, man? That sounds horrible. you're trying to piecemeal this up like it's part of a thing. That's a horrible way to enjoy a video game, isn't it? You know? Rather than just sitting down and saying, I'm going to do some stuff in this game today. And then you do some stuff and think, yeah, okay, that's enough for today. Rather than, or with this game anyway, it's enough for today. Move on to the next game or move on to the next thing you're going to do. So, I don't know. Maybe instead of trying to reevaluate that to find a schedule for Destiny Infinite, maybe I should find a game that doesn't need me to, that doesn't demand so much of my time. Mm. How about that? I don't know. I'm getting... There's an epiphany brewing up here somewhere in the head saying, like, wait a second. Destiny needs me. I don't need Destiny, right?
You know? That's how it should be.
Right?
Yeah, that's how it should
exactly.
be.
Exactly. It needs me. I don't need it. So, yeah. That's how it should be.
Yeah, but in reality.
But that's the way the game is built, right? Mm. And this is the way a lot of, and I don't necessarily know, I don't want to say that it's like games like Destiny are built, but it's not just games like Destiny. I could take you to a casino. I could take you to any kind of, like, I don't want to say carnival games, but there's certain things that are built into how you play something or how it pulls in a customer, you know? And they have, Destiny has perfected that, it's called something about a loop. It's a loop, and I don't want to. It's not loot or whatever, but it's that whole, you know, it's that situation of you doing something, and getting rewarded for doing that, and feeling like that didn't take long for me to do. I can knock out this next thing. Mm-hmm. It's this whole thing. It's this, and it's called a loop of something. And it's not a loot loop. It's called something else, but it's not a loot loop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's addiction. It is. It's how you feed that. It's how you feed it, but they have that built in, and I can't remember what it's called. James, the actual James, not Jeff James, but James. I know he remembers what it was, which I haven't talked to him in a while either. But
I keep thinking about the carrot on the stick leading you on.
I mean, in a sense, but see, the thing is like they're not leading you on with that carrot. You get the carrot from time to time,
a little piece of it anyway.
Or a little piece of it, but it's enough to keep you going to that, okay, now give me the next piece of that carrot. Mm-hmm. Give me the next piece. And I can't remember what it's exactly called, but there is a term for it. Mm-hmm. And they have it. I know casino games have it, and I know that video games like Destiny has it. I know that there's a lot of mobile apps and free games. Feedback loop. That's exactly what it is. It's a feedback loop. There's mobile games, free mobile games, and there's probably some paid ones as well. I only know the free ones. But they also put this in here. They put that in their game so that, you know, so it keeps you coming back for more. It's a little drip feed of reward, you know, like, hey, pat on the back. A little drip feed of pat on the back. You did good here, blah, 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 and move on to the next thing. So
yeah, that feels good. Let me get some more of that.
Yeah, you know,
forward, yeah.
It's what keeps them going. So that's why, you know, when you talk about casino stuff and they wear, and not even just casino stuff. I'm talking about just games you would see in the bowling alley or the drugstore or something, the claw games or the movie theaters had these things a lot. You know, some people probably can make that claw game work with skill, but for the most part, they're designed to work this many times out of this, you know.
Yeah.
Don't work this many times, but work on this one, you know, so that there's some witness to a reward saying, oh, yeah, that game does work, you know. Mm-hmm. And somebody can win with that thing. So, yeah.
Or you catch the one that works a little too efficiently. I remember Eastdale... back in the arcade days of Eastdale Mall.
Aladdin?
Yeah, Aladdin's Castle.
It turned into a Redemption arcade, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a shell of itself of what it used to be. It's a bunch of bouncy castles and about 8 HD screens, and all of them got Fortnite on it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, I know that. I know when you go into like a Dave & Buster's or some of these others, they got the arcade game set up, but mostly where they make their money and where they loop you and hook you in is the redemption games.
Yep.
You play this game, you get a bunch of tickets, you turn it in, you get some free stuff.
Yeah.
And when you do really well, I know in San Antonio, I think it was Dave & Buster's there, man. hit it huge once on a ticket machine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gigantic.
Yep.
And it, what's really cool, and I don't even know where that card is. What's really cool is that they can put your ticket amount on a card now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long time. I thought I was just going to have to hold on to the tickets.
Yeah. Round one in Lithonia, Georgia has that, the card system. Mm-hmm. We go there every now and then just swipe the card.
Right. It's a card system where you can put the money on the card so that you can go play the games.
Money and tickets.
But your tickets, the tickets you've amassed, will be put on that card as well.
Yeah.
So you can go to any other Dave and Buster's in the country, and hey, you've got your tickets with you, and you've got your card, and that sort of thing. I got to find those cards.
Yeah. Just keep one in your glove compartment.
Yeah. Looking at the chat room here, Arioka says addiction, feedback loop. Yeah. Arioka says, did you get into the first Destiny as well? I wonder if some people prefer it to the sequel. I got to say no on some. There are some aspects of the first Destiny that I would prefer and that I hope they bring back, which it seems like they're kind of looking to do something that mixes Destiny 1 with Destiny 2. And by Destiny 1, I mean like locations and events.
Mm-hmm.
King's Fall is probably, arguably, the best expansion that Destiny has ever done.
Hmm.
And it was the, I want to say the fourth. It was the second year of Destiny,
mm-hmm.
I think. Or was it the third? Anyway, Destiny went through this whole thing, and I stopped playing it after a few months of the very first game. And then they came out with King's Fall and really made a lot of changes to the system. And I say it's the best time because that was, if Forsaken's really, really good, that was the one that came after. But I honestly, I feel like everybody measures it up. Everybody measures every expansion up to likely King's Fall.
Back in September of 2015,
yeah,
is it came out. Yeah. Goodness.
Destiny?
The King's Fall.
Oh, the King's Fall expansion.
Yeah. Came out September 2015.
They did so many different things with the King. They did so many different things with the King's Fall expansion, that was just, it was better for what it was doing. It was better for players. It brought in people. It brought people back. It brought me back.
Yeah.
I know it brought you in.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought James and Jeremy, and we had a whole group. First raid
I ever did.
Right, exactly. We all had these great times together, and so yeah. But there are some aspects, like I prefer Destiny 2 overall because they've really, really fixed a lot of the UI designs. There's a lot that goes with it. Like if I have to go back to play the first Destiny, I can't do that on my PC. I got to go back old console and everything else, so it looks whatever. But moving everything over to PC has helped a lot for me. The clan system was involved, which they didn't have that back then. And there's just, I don't know. There was a lot of good things that came out of Destiny 2. But King's Fall, I think, is probably the best expansion that they've ever done. Forsaken probably runs second to that, I think. So, yeah. But anyway, your question being was that I wonder if some people prefer it to the sequel. I imagine. There may be some people who just can't let go of the first one and just stay with it, even though you really can't do anything now. You can't really advance or progress. So, Thar66 says, Gotcha is playing, though, for random chance of something. Scott plays that. RJ plays Demon's Souls, same mechanic. Forsaken was bad. I remember the play for the first Destiny was to last over a decade. Then they made a sequel. No, you're right. Yeah, Arioka,
10-year plan.
Yeah, there was a 10-year plan for Destiny. There really, I would say there still is, but I think they've surpassed that. This would be year 8 now. Was it 2012 or 13? You said 2015 was King's Fall.
2015 was the King's Fall release.
So maybe it was 2014 was when. Yeah, look, I know you're Googling it right now. Yeah. Look up when that came out. Destiny, what year was that? 2013?
Hmm.
What are you seeing?
I said Destiny, and it puts me Destiny 2. Yeah, September of 2014.
So it was 2014. Okay. Yeah. So we haven't hit that 10-year mark. Yeah. And, I mean, they've got the next 3 years planned out. I say the next 3 years. We're in the middle of year one of that 3-year plan. They've got 2 more years to go with what they've done out. And we just got word just this week, Bungie expanded. Bungie has expanded their studio and stuff, mainly to work on new IP. But I think it was something about what they were going to do with Destiny was going to become like a Destiny universe type thing. And I'm trying to find it. We have so much news to go through because it took 2 weeks off and, you know, there's just a lot. Now, I was throwing anything against the wall to see what would stick. So, I mean, we've got a ton of articles here. We probably will not be able to go over all of them. Yesterday, Bungie announced some big plans over the next few years, including new offices, new games, and a new leadership team seemingly in charge of branching out the Destiny 2 universe. See, that's the other thing. They're not moving past Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure why they don't just be Destiny 3, and it just carries over from 2. I don't know the issue with that. But it says, one of the primary drivers of Bungie's expansion is to increase the commitment to the long-term development of Destiny 2. Tell new stories in the Destiny universe. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like, remember the one-offs that I think Sub-Zero and Scorpion got from Mortal Kombat?
Oh, yeah, Mythologies.
Yeah, yeah, Mortal Kombat Mythologies, where they got this, like, single-player side-scroller or whatever it was, first-person thing. I don't know what it was, but yeah. That's what that sounds like. Ooh, new stories in the Destiny universe. Like, and I would be fine with that. Their lore, while not implemented very well in the game from the start, they've gone back and fixed that. But their lore is fantastic.
Yeah.
The books, I think they've got a third volume now.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played in a while, but I still remember some of the stories behind the legendary weapons I picked up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to say it was a grenade launcher, a legendary grenade launcher, and it told the story of a Titan who would like train by punching mountains or something like that. I forget her name.
It was probably Mountaintop, which is the name of the.
I think it was a dragon or something. It was like a green jade dragon or something like that. It was like a single shot grenade launcher.
Well, I mean, there's a grenade launcher called the Mountaintop.
Okay,
and that makes it sound like. That makes it sound like that. Hmm. I mean, you can find the lore online. It's all there. But
there's a ton of source material to make new games or whatnot out of that.
In material terms, the expansion includes a big new headquarter office that sounds effectively like a mini college campus. An international office will be located in Amsterdam, focused on publishing and marketing there. New people brought on board at the executive and board of directors level, including the appointment of former Viacom CBS president, Pamela Kaufman. In aspirational terms, Bungie wants to expand the Destiny universe into additional media and release a brand new game before 2025. They are working on a new non-Destiny game as part of a $100 million publishing deal with the Chinese gaming company NetEase. I thought Tencent got involved, but I guess not. All of this seems very much in keeping with the decade-long vision originally laid out for the first Destiny, which at the time, then Bungie COO, Pete Parsons said was part of trying to turn the IP into gaming's version of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. Destiny's always been a very cinematic game with voice talents that have ranged from, and it goes on the names here, it seems like the perfect time for the world it established to be brought into TV or film, especially as Hollywood races to adapt every video game to fill its bottomless appetite for new content. Speaking of which, we got a Mortal Kombat trailer this week, which is exactly what your post on our Facebook page had to do with everything. Apparently, an article by Jezebel from the Jezebel website or whatever asked why they left Chun-Li out of the
roster. Yeah,
out of the Mortal Kombat. That was a perfectly good reason.
Yeah. The update at the end of the article clarified that for everybody.
Oh, there's an update at the end?
Yeah, update is at the end. But the thing about the whole situation was people looked at this and they couldn't tell if they were joking or not, because there's been some really ignorant articles written in the video game world. But folks really honestly could not tell, are they joking? Are they playing with us? Because video game news you don't think about when going to this website. So people were like honestly trying to figure out if this was a joke or not. And people are still on the fence about that.
I'm almost positive it was not a joke. It was something where somebody just sees fighting game and it's like, well, where's Where's the people I'm familiar with?
Where's the queen of the fighting game?
They recognize the character. They recognize characters like Sub-Zero, Scorpion, things like that. They recognize that, and they're like, oh yeah, the fighting game. Well, where's? And then they start thinking, oh, they got all these other people. How come they don't have these other guys I know? Mm-hmm. Thinking it's just like it's fighting game. You know, that's that's like when a long time ago your parents or your grandparents would say. They would talk about, did you get the new Nintendo? And, you know, it was a Sega machine or a Xbox or a PlayStation. Yeah. Did you get the new Nintendo machine? And, you know, that sort of thing.
It's so, like any carbonated drink is called a Coke.
It's a Coke. Yes, exactly. I know. What flavor? Mm-hmm. Sprite. You want a Coke? Yeah, what flavor? Dr. Pepper. You know, something like that. So, yeah, what kind? You know, they would ask. I mean, like, I'll take a 7-Up. So... there you go. We need to take a break, but not before we take a phone call, because they've been waiting on hold here for a bit. Hi, who's this?
It's me, Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I just want to see if y'all were going to talk about that Chun-Li deal. I saw that when he posted that. I'm thinking, really?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking the same thing. Is this for real, or is this a joke? And I'm thinking, major face palm.
I was hoping it was a joke. I was really hoping it was, but like Scott said, it probably is. They genuinely thought that that was a legitimate question.
But you said they updated it. What did they say in the update?
They updated and basically confirmed that we now understand why this character is not in the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, because it wasn't a joke. Right. They legitimately printed that thinking, how come this person's not in it? You know?
They thought they weren't making a joke out of it. They were just speculating, and they got caught on it, huh?
Yeah,
quickly.
Because I would say, and oddly enough, and I don't know why, but I would like, I don't know. I mean, we got a poll. We can poll right here. I'll start with RJ. Who do you think is the most recognized Street Fighter character?
Recognized?
In other words, you know, if somebody held these
Ryu,
the two brothers.
Okay,
Ryu.
I was thinking more of a sense that that it would be Chun-Li. She got her own movie, which, you know, was a horrible thing. But she got her own movie. Mm-hmm. She was also in, I guess, that movie with Van Damme way back when.
Street Fighter the Motion Picture.
Uh-huh.
But the star of that movie was Raul Julia.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I get that. But nobody's saying, why isn't Raul Julia in this... But they, you know, it's, I don't know. I think
Jezebel, if I'm not mistaken, is a feminist leaning website. So it's women's issues. I think they deal with women's issues and things like that. So
I've never paid attention to that.
So representation, I think, is one of their big things. But I guess Chun-Li was the writer's one of the writer's favorite characters, and guess she wanted her in the fighting movie Mortal Kombat, but didn't realize that that's not her universe. That's not her universe.
So she
can't be in everything.
RJ,
the trailer for Mortal Kombat. Some real variations from the story that, as I remember it being, like I'm hearing that Sub-Zero is the villain, despite Shang Tsung being in there as well. So I'm guessing, okay, this must be Bi-Han instead of his brother, who is the more was the heroic version of Sub-Zero. So I'm looking for all the variations that are going on in the lore. Like some characters completely missing from the movie.
Well, that we know of, right? Yeah, we only saw a trailer. Which then again, there's some characters that are
there's a lot of them in there. And then there's some original one that it was made specifically for this movie. Someone I never heard of at all.
Yeah, I know. I've heard some spoiler stuff about like maybe he's related to one of the two ninjas.
Yeah.
Scorpion, Sub-Zero, I don't know which one. Mm-hmm. But, when I jump into forums about this trailer, there is so, you know, I just talked about Destiny lore a minute ago. There's apparently so much lore with Mortal Kombat, because there are people saying, is that this guy? And they throw a name out of there. No, he died in part 4 of the game, and this is his brother or somebody, and, you know, Scorpion killed Sub-Zero, and then Sub-Zero's brother took over the mantle of the whatever. And
before it was Sub-Zero, his name was Tundra.
Yeah, and now Scorpion feels bad about killing the brother, and so now he's sworn as the protector of the brother of the killed whatever.
I don't think he felt bad about it.
I'm not saying it's bad lore. I'm saying this is coming out of basically if I was a writer for Jezebel. This is basically the way I would interpret it. It's like, I don't know, but yeah. I'm going to try and figure that out. So I don't know. Yeah. But hey, Chris, what else is going on real quick? I mean, we're way behind on a break. But
I found one of the little mini arcades of Galaga that I think it was my arcade that I found for $5. And I found a few other things in a PlayStation 1 game that I was going to trade in and all. But I recently picked up a digital copy of A Ground on the Switch and saw that and got hooked on that. But have y'all seen anything on the BlizzCon announcements of their new stuff that they're coming out with?
We got a whole thing to go over about that, because everything that Blizzard announced during BlizzCon Lines, I guess that's the name of the thing, opening ceremony thing.
The Diablo news things, you know, about the new character on 4 and the remake of 2.
The remake of 2, the new character in 4, and then what are the Shadowlands for Warcraft? Burning Crusade, Hearthstone, yeah, the arcade collection. We got all that stuff that we're going to be going over as well. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Chris. It's always great to hear from you, man.
All right, y'all do the same. Y'all take it easy. Y'all be careful.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Take care.
Thanks, now.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. We need to take a break. So when we come back, we will hit up whatever RJ's been playing, because I just spent 37 minutes talking about what I just played. Our first bit of music here is coming from, I was looking for a game that was on Steam. I was looking for music from a game that was on Steam called Shattered. And so I go to YouTube, and I'm like, Shattered game soundtrack. Doop. Nothing comes up except a video game called Shatter, which I remember the logo from. I don't necessarily remember the game. I want to say, was it like a Breakout thing? Yeah, it's a Breakout clone video game. And I remember it was developed, PlayStation 3, PC, and iOS. This was back in 2009.
Yeah.
And so I remembered it, and I was like, yeah, let's just grab some music from that. So this is what it is. It's the menu music for a game called Shatter that came out in 2009.
Looks good.
Yeah, block breaker with slowdown. I know there was. I remember it. I do remember it. Kind of makes me want to jump back into it and play it some more.
You probably got it already, don't you?
I do. I did. I played it. So okay. I mean, it's connected to my account. I don't know if it's on PSN or if it was on. I think it is. I think it would be connected to my account on PSN. Oh. So anyway, this is the menu music from that. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Project Winter. The main menu music from that game. I think that came out this week? I don't know. But yeah, that's what you're listening to. So, anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. RJ, what have you played, my friend? We didn't get to... I obviously took that over. So what have you played in the past 2 weeks?
Let's see. Still playing... Cyberpunk 2077. I'm working on my second playthrough.
Okay.
Still have the glitches galore that I'm dealing with, but it's pretty much tolerable at this point. Just par for the course, really.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, of par for the course, I played. I bought a copy of a PGA Tour 2K21, the newest version of basically the golf club. Basically, because HB Studios was acquired by
really,
2K, so their names is on there. So,
see,
yeah.
I expected you because you said speaking of that, I expect he's been playing the golf club,
mm-hmm.
but that's not a thing anymore because they got bought, huh?
That's 2K. That's in the 2K line of sports.
Which I mean, I'm okay with them getting bought as long as it's not like, okay, we're going to buy you and then wipe you out and just keep doing our thing, just get rid of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather they look at that and be like, you guys are doing golf better than we are. We're going to hire you to do our golf games.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, buy you that way.
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah. Still the same actual courses, actual equipment, clubs, and things like that. Just 2K's spin on it. Probably got points or something in there. I didn't look at that because I wasn't really looking for that. I was trying to practice my shots and everything, which I'm completely out of practice on. So I'm going to have to spend hours, most likely, getting my swing mechanics down because it's still the same golf club things you have to go through. You got to get your timing of your backswing, timing of your swinging forward, make it accurate, shaping your shots, making sure you're on the right level. Is the ground level? There's a whole bunch of things you got to consider before making every shot in golf. So I got to have. So I'm going to have a lot of practice ahead of me, and I'm still notice that I still have to hold the controller a certain way when playing this game because if I hold it properly, you know, properly horizontal across the level, my shots are always going to be off. Because of the way my thumb pivots and hinges.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be off. So I have to like tilt it at an angle so I can get the right accuracy to keep that line right between the keep my shots accurate. I have to tilt the controller a different way. I still have to do that. I had to do that since 2018. So still the same. Outside of that, a little bit more Street Fighter V, prepping for the new additions that are coming out later this month. And I did try to get into the Guilty Gear Strive beta.
Yeah.
But that was having a lot of issues, so I couldn't get into that at all. I couldn't even find it to download it, really. I know they said it was available to those who pre-order, but I did pre-order, but it was from GameStop I did that with, but I didn't get a code, so it must have been the digital pre-order that they let you get in on. But apparently a lot of people were having troubles getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was network issues that was really giving them an issue. They couldn't get in on, so I had to pass up on that. That's pretty much all I've been playing this week.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, over the past 2 weeks, that's
the past
pretty
two
much
weeks,
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know where CD Projekt Red got their source code for Cyberpunk and Witcher were stolen, and apparently are being held for ransom. Yesterday, said the statement from CD Projekt. We discovered that we have become a victim of a targeted cyber attack, due to which some of our internal systems have been compromised. The hacker's note threatens to release source code for 2077, The Witcher 3, including an unreleased version of the game, and Gwent, as well as release company documents relating to accounting, administration, legal, HR, investor relations, and more. The hacker's note gives CD Projekt Red 48 hours to come to an agreement, after which the hacker threatens to leak or sell the source code information. CDPR says that their backups are still intact and that it has secured their IT infrastructure and began restoring the data. We will not give in to the demands nor negotiate with the actor. That's interesting. With the actor being aware that this may eventually lead to the release of compromised data, the company writes, they do not believe the breach contains personal data from players. We've already approached the relevant authorities, including law enforcement, as well as the IT forensic specialists. We will closely cooperate with them in order to fully investigate the incident.
Hmm.
It threatens that releasing the data will further damage the company's reputation. Sure, try it. That company's reputation is quite damaged.
Yeah.
So it's probably like, sure, give us your best shot.
Just sounds like where we are right now.
Yeah, well, I know.
Yeah. Have at it, man.
I know.
Actor.
Yeah, I don't understand what that said. It was actor. This
hacker?
Maybe.
Perpetrator?
And I don't know. Lost in translation.
Yeah.
So, oddly enough, in the two weeks we were gone, some, I don't want to say weird or strange, but, you know, and not even unlikely, but you know how it goes in the gaming cycles.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, Fortnite started as something and then became huge, or PUBG started as something small and then became huge, and that sort of thing. So, yeah. In the 2 weeks we were gone, a game called Valheim really just exploded in popularity. It is a Viking survival game. It is available on Steam Early Access. It has surpassed 3 million sales in only 16 days. In fact, Biosk1 says that he's playing the game right now while listening to the show. Coffee Stain Publishing and Iron Gate Studio are the people behind Valheim. Concurrent player numbers are also continuing to climb, surpassing 390,000 earlier this week. The game currently has over 60,000 overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam and has entered the service's top 250 best-reviewed games of all time at number 78 on the list. It is also the seventh most streamed game on Twitch. That surpasses Counter-Strike GO, Dota 2, Minecraft, and Rust. Also attracted over 147,000 peak concurrent viewers on February 17th, its highest yet. Those currently playing the game can expect new biomes, enemies, and improvements to combat ships. If you're playing Valheim or just getting started or their full gun, blah, blah, blah. I was reading the rest of the article almost word for word. So, yeah, small game. Bio says small game, and it runs on lower-end computers very, very well. I haven't even looked at it. I don't know anything about it. I just know that it keeps popping up in my news feed. Valheim, Valheim, Valheim. So, anyway, one of those things, man. But I don't think it has the same formula as those survivals like Fortnite and PUBG and that sort of thing. I don't think it has that same sort of mechanic and everything else. Bio says if you like Minecraft survival mode, you'll like this one. I haven't even looked. I haven't even watched video of it, to be honest with you. I did get music from it, which is what we're going to play when we go out here.
I'm looking at a video of it now while you were reading that article. Seems like building bases, enemies to fight, of course, land and sea. Looks like we got ship battles, all types of things. Standard fare for it. Maybe multi-type fighter, I guess.
Thar66 says it looks like crap, but it's fun. I mean, I get that. Minecraft doesn't look all that great, but it is highly addictive, and you just keep playing it. Mm-hmm. Bios says watching doesn't really give you the right feel. I watched and wasn't interested. I grabbed it because I had fear of missing out. I hate FOMO. Fear of missing out is one of the worst feelings. And that's one of the things that...
Fear of missing out.
Yeah. Well, in other words... the addictive brain in me, the addictive part of my brain, for Destiny, that's why I'm going to relate it to Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Certain guns that are available only for a certain amount of time.
Oh, okay. That.
And so you're like, well, I'm afraid I'll miss out if I don't get in on that and get it and that sort of thing. It's called FOMO.
Okay.
And Destiny has done this before. Other games have done it before where it's like, hey, it's a limited time. You can only get this thing while we're doing this special event. The... costumes for Ghost Tsushima. I can't put them together after a Ghost Think Real Hard Tsushima. There was for a limited time over the holidays, they had those challenge modes, four different ones where you could get four different outfits based on other games. And I think it only lasted for, you know, it was a limited time event. The costumes didn't do anything for you, didn't make things better for you. It was just
cosmetic.
It was a cosmetic, you know?
But nowadays, you think about things like that. Yeah, limited time.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's offered for as DLC later on down the line somewhere for a small fee.
Well, I used to have FOMO with Destiny on certain things, and now I'm like, I don't have it that badly.
Yeah.
You know, with it. And I don't necessarily know why. I guess because I've been through FOMO events before with Destiny, and I'm not using whatever it was I got out of it. You know, if it was a specific gun or a helmet or, you know, whatever it may have been, I'm not using it. Once they implemented sunsetting, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous, a lot of it feels like, what's the point? Unless it's an exotic, you know, exotics mm-hmm. don't have sunsetting built in, but everything else does. Your guns and your armor can only be leveled up to a certain point, and then you can't level them up any further. Mm-hmm. Why spend the time chasing down something that's going to become obsolete after like a year? Mm-hmm. Which is not to say you shouldn't necessarily play the game, play it.
Yeah.
But as far as specific weapon rolls and all these other things that you need to do, there's no, I don't see the point, which I think is something that they, you know, that's one of the arguments against what they did with sunsetting was like, well, then there's no point in chasing a god roll is what they would call it, where your gun would have like, here's the range and the fire rate, you know, all these different stats that are just kind of randomly generated, plus the two perks that you can get out of it. And you know, if you get a really good set, you got a nice, nice weapon there.
Yeah. It's like certain weapons that I picked up in Destiny, I had no reason to really get rid of because the gun I was using was a scout rifle, the Song of Justice 6, I think it was. I got from that New Monarchy.
Mine was, rally. What was it called? The Hangman or the, no, what was it called? It was that scout rifle, man. We used a ton of it. I can't remember what the name of it was. That's, you know, that was back in D1 days.
Yeah. I had that weapon, and I maxed out the range on the thing. I mean, I could hit things clear across the field with it, which is weird because being a Titan, because the Titan's supposed to be close range. But I had I found no other scout rifle that matched it for range. So I've been using that ever since, and I never got rid of it. Mm-hmm. And all the exotics that came out, none of them were scout rifles, so I never even gave them a second look.
Arioka says Nintendo does FOMO often. The NES and SNES classics, those little mini machines.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Like everything Mario released in the past year is apparently supposed to get pulled after March. Or at least not necessarily pulled. It's just like, okay, we're going to stop making the game after March of this year. Because it was the year of Mario, or their 35th anniversary edition. So Super Mario 3D All-Stars, while you may find it in stores later this year and over the Christmas holidays, they aren't going to make any more after March. You know, they're just going to leave it that way. So, it's weird. I'm not a fan of FOMO at all.
Yeah.
Don't like it one bit. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into some more news. We've got some E3 news here. We've got the BlizzCon thing. Nintendo did a Direct. We've got that as well. Plenty of stuff to talk about coming up. We're going to leave you here with music from Valheim, Entering Valheim. And we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Werewolf the Apocalypse. The name of this track is called Flying Corpses. So, I have no idea what this game looks like either.
I was just about to say, this sounds like a Horde mode.
Right.
Music or something like that.
Well, actually, I'll tell you this. When I was looking for this, this is exactly what the entire soundtrack sounds like. Very little deviation from this.
Yeah. Speaking of horde modes and stuff like that, I was talking with the folks at Quality Comics about I was picking up my stuff from there.
And what were you picking up? What were you picking up? What are you reading? What are you picking up?
I picked up a Gold Digger from Antarctic Press, Fred Perry.
No idea.
Oh, it's a pretty long running series that he made.
Manga or is it a com? Or what is it?
Manga. It's manga ish.
Okay. Because I know you're into that. So I was In fact, I've got a box full of books that I need to bring you.
Mm-hmm.
A box full.
Really?
I mean, they may not be anything decent at all, but you can look through and be like, I know what this is. Yeah. I'll keep it. Or I know what this is. It's crap. You know, whatever the case.
Yeah. But I was down there picking up my whole slot from there and talking to the folks there. And we were talking about horde modes and things like that and how aren't gamers tired of horde modes and stuff yet, especially with zombies and things like that. It's like a trope now, really.
Mm-hmm.
But then we discussed about why they keep doing that. It's like, well... instead of making individual AI characters, you could just make a horde of similar looking characters and make them all do the same thing, and pretty much cost effective and whatnot. So they're probably going to keep doing it until gamers really make a significant push to like tell people, hey, stop, we're pretty tired of this.
Yeah.
But until that happens, they're going to keep doing it.
Mm.
Yeah. But that music from this game sounds like a rush battle, mm-hmm. Constant over and over. Battle and things like that.
There's which makes me wonder how the game plays. There's absolutely no downtime in that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. No subtlety.
I'm just curious. And again, so I was telling RJ this, when I go to find, the only place I can get these soundtracks is usually off of YouTube when people have uploaded them.
Yeah.
And whenever they do that, sometimes they'll either upload it over game footage, which means I can see kind of what the game looks like, or most of the time, it's just uploaded, or it's the background is a static logo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really get a chance to know what it's like. So with Valheim, I was able to kind of see some of the game while I was getting the music. But with pretty much everything else, there's nothing else going on. It's just a logo type stuff, which is exactly what it was for Werewolf. Mm-hmm. I have no reference for what that game looks like, how it plays. I don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Other than that's what the soundtrack is like. So what do we got? Okay, E3. Normally that's March. So normally we're not even talking about E3 yet or with any detail. Anyway, they have, I think, currently it is being planned as an all-digital event. I don't exactly know how that'll work. It was very weird last year because... E3 basically got canceled and there was really nothing to take its place. A lot of people came up with, well, we'll do this, you know, we'll interview devs, you know, we'll do some interviews of devs or make some reveals. I think Jeff Keighley was involved in that a lot. And the big companies still had their showcases, but they were spread out over months at a time. It was very, very... I don't know. As an experiment, I was kind of like, hey, this is nice. It doesn't pack it all into 1 week. You know, we get it drip fed, you know, little by little here and there. But after it was all said and done, I really prefer them to go back to the way that it was. Like, no, man, just do it all at once. Do your Microsoft thing on Sunday, your Bethesda thing on Sunday, your Sony thing on Monday if you want to, or on Sunday as well. In other words, what I'm saying is do it all within the week. Or the same day if you want to, but this thing where we may do one this month and we're going to do a second one 2 months from now and then we're going to do this, like, no, not do that. Mm. You know, you can do the Nintendo thing where you do them sparse every now and again, small ones sparse every now and again, or, you know, with one big one like they did this past week. But, yeah, anyway, they're planning on it being an all-digital show. That's for the E3 part. And again, I have to stress here that these press conferences are not actually E3 endorsed. They just used to take place around the same time because everybody was there in the same place.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about that anymore, which is why they don't have to stick to a schedule. They can do their own thing whenever they want to. There's no floor space that needs to be bought. There's no rental of any kind that needs to be going on. There's no schedules that have to be done to get everybody on a plane and fly out and book rooms. And there's just a whole lot of stuff that doesn't have to go on anymore to for companies to worry about. So why should they care you know, when E3 is going to do their thing. I do hope they listen and figure out, okay, we should do these around the same time, but there is no reason for them to do that. In fact, it's better for them not to.
Yeah.
Because you would go through, we would do it, you know, you'd go through the whole E3 week, and by the time you got to Nintendo's and Sony's on Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was, mm-hmm. you'd forgotten what, like, Microsoft and Ubisoft had done just a couple of days before.
Yeah.
With you know, you might have one or two games sticking in your head, but you're probably forgetting about the 25, 30 others mm-hmm. that were shown off.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it benefits them, I think, for not peace of mind, for what's the term? For headspace. For that stuff that you can live rent free for inside of people's heads.
Yeah.
I think it works better for them to be like, no, we're going to pick an arbitrary date and we're going to do it here.
Yeah.
And if somebody picks one to come after us or before yeah. us, then okay, we'll change our date.
For the next few weeks or the next few months, we want you to focus on us and only
right?
us.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Because
we don't want to compete with anybody else.
When it was done yeah. back to back to back like that.
Yeah.
You know, your news articles would fill up with all these people talking about here's blah, 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 this game. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of scrolling through them trying to find something that was working. If they're the only ones in town, you're going to get a lot more coverage or at least a lot more eyes
yeah.
On either other people's articles or the show itself, whatever it may be. But again, they're not worried about an audience because they don't have to have an auditorium full of people. It's not there. So they can do it whenever they want. So in other words, I guess to sum this up, I like the digital press conference things. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like those. I just didn't like how they were spread out. I like it more when the company is like, it's on our time. We're going to talk about this stuff. We don't have to get it all packed in because we only have this amount of time to do our thing. You know, and I think that's something they realize, like, oh, good, we're not adhered to the schedule. We can do an hour presentation this week, and then we can do another hour presentation a month from now if we want to, because then the next game we want to talk about will be ready. We don't have to put developers through all this to get these little slices done. All they got to do is make a video so that we can show it. Nobody's coming out to play a game live or anything like that. I don't know. I imagine they're coming away loving this, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. because it's now on their turf, and they're probably spending less money because you don't have to rent a venue,
yeah,
and pack every, like I said, fly everybody over, book them in rooms and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's probably so good for them.
Yeah, just a couple cameras and a good internet connection.
Yeah, what we were talking about, the online version of the of E3 and what they're doing. These are just proposals from the Entertainment Software Association. They actually haven't put in stone what they're going to do. But what they did say is, we can confirm that we are transforming the E3 experience for 2021 and will soon share exact details on how we're bringing the global video game community together. You're not. We are having great conversations with publishers, developers, and companies across the board. We look forward. That's your PR speak. So, yeah, that's what you got out of them. E3 ain't dead. Long live E3, right? February's free Nintendo and Super Nintendo games for Switch Online has been revealed. What are we getting? Super Nintendo, we're getting Doomsday Warrior, Psycho Dream, and Prehistoric Man. And for the NES, we're getting Fire and Ice. So, that's what you're getting. If you're signed up for Nintendo Online, you'll get those on your Switch. What else? You know, speaking of the Switch, I want to go to the Nintendo's Direct, and I want to talk about BlizzCon Online. Just to run these down, because I looked through, I watched Nintendo's Direct after it was shown, because while it was on, I was exercising. Mm. Not playing Destiny, I was out doing my daily walk. Mm. And my watch was blowing up with, you know, like, oh, they announced this, they announced this, they announced this.
Every 10 seconds or something?
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you follow that guy on Twitter, Wario. Because mm-hmm. not only does he give you this, he shows you, you know, this game's cheap right now.
Yeah.
He also throws up the first notification of the Mortal Kombat trailer being live was from him. Yeah. And so I went straight to it and watched. Or tried to watch. I couldn't. It was volume was down. Hey, what did we get? Here's the rundown. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 character is joining Smash Brothers Ultimate. That's great. Fall Guys is coming to Switch this summer. So is The Outer Wilds, which this was the first time I saw video of The Outer Wilds. It's been out a while.
Yeah.
That's odd to say. Outer Wilds has been out a while.
It's been a minute.
And this was the this is not Outer Worlds. The Obsidian game. This is Outer Wilds. And anyway, the trailer for it that Nintendo Switch was showing off, I was like, this actually looks like I would enjoy this. This looks intriguing and interesting to me. I want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that took me off guard. Samurai Warriors 5 as well. Two Famicom Detective Club stories are getting localized. The Missing Heir and The Girl Who Stands Behind will be out on May 14th. I don't know anything about those. An enhanced version of Legend of Mana is going to be released on June 4th. Monster Hunter Rise, new trailer there. Mario Golf, Super Rush. That's great. Mm. Used to be big into the Mario sports titles. Not so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we get? Capcom Arcade Stadium. Stubbs the Zombie, Rebel Without a Pulse, Tales from the Borderlands, DC Superhero Girls, Teen Power, No More Heroes 3, and Knockout City all announced. Neon White was a anime shooter from the maker of Donut County. That's interesting. What else did we get? Miitopia? That's weird that that's coming out.
M-I-I?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Miis from the Wii,
okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's weird that that's coming out because they do so little with the Miis, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was something you had to create when you got a Wii way back when. And they extended that into the Wii U, but it's really sort of diminished. And I guess the 3DS was doing a lot with it as well, I think. There were some titles for the 3DS mm-hmm. that had that had your Mii doing things, but
I want to say they were also putting Smash Brothers or one of the Smash titles or something.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Could put yourself in this. You put your Mii in the Smash Brother game, but really they dropped off doing a lot of that whenever the Switch came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting that they're bringing that back out here. Saw some of the Mario content coming to Animal Crossing, which looked really interesting. And then what else do we have? Project Triangle Strategy is a new tactical RPG from Squeenix. Star Wars Hunters is a free-to-play multiplayer shooter. World's End Club. Ninja Gaiden's getting a trilogy release on the Switch.
Hmm.
And that's a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword is getting an HD port on the Switch. And Splatoon 3 was announced, which I thought they were done with Splatoon, but apparently they are not.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job. And then everything that was announced during Blizzard's BlizzCon Online, we already talked about some of that, which was the remake of Diablo 2, the new the Rogue class in Diablo 4, World of Warcraft Shadowlands is getting an update called Chains of Domination. I have not played World of Warcraft. It's long enough to say that I've never played World of Warcraft. Burning Crusade expansion is coming to WoW Classic. Hearthstone's new expansion, Forged in the Barrens. The Blizzard Arcade Collection was released on PC, Switch, PS4, and Xbox One the same day they announced it. It's early games from Blizzard, like The Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn as well. And that was all from the big, like, here's some stuff that we're going to announce. So,
I remember those titles you just mentioned from Blizzard Arcade Collection. Did I ever
Lost Vikings, I remember.
Yeah.
Some of the others, the other two.
I recognize the name, but I never played the actual game, though.
Yeah. Epic Games or Epic Games Store kind of had a few announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom Hearts, the entire series, is coming to PC on March 30th, but it will be exclusive to the Epic Games Store. And also Axiom Verge 2. Loved Axiom Verge. Never finished it. Got a good ways into it. Felt like I hit a brick wall, but I never finished it.
Downloaded it. Never played it, though.
Yeah, the sequel is coming to PC, but it will also be an Epic Game Store exclusive on that as well.
Yeah.
So.
Along with so many other titles I've downloaded but haven't even played yet, especially on Steam.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't installed anything. Once I did the new computer build, I installed Destiny 2 because I knew I was going to play that.
Yeah.
But it was like, ooh, I'm fresh here. What can I put in? You know?
And it's still empty.
I haven't installed anything. My Steam library is huge. I have two.
In the four digits now, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, probably.
Thousands now, yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Close to it. I know there's a site you can probably go to, like, here, how many games do I have? There you go. Where was I going? Oh, Steam. Yeah, my new computer.
Yeah.
I have, I think, two video games installed on that machine.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Yeah.
Destiny 2 and Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Mm.
Those are the only two games I have installed on that machine.
Yeah, because you're playing them.
Well, not only that, it's, you know, again, I go back, I know I'm repeating myself because I've told this before, but I didn't get to upgrade my graphics card when I built my new system.
Right, right.
And so there really was no, like, ooh, let's install this and see what it looks like with this new graphics card and, mm-hmm. and where I can... No, I've played that game. I'm on a card that was from 2015.
Yeah.
I know what my games look like.
Mm-hmm.
I also know if on any new games, I know they're not going to look the way I would like them to. So, yeah, there was no real, like... Usually the first thing you do when you do an upgrade on a PC, when you do... new stuff and get a new card in there and things are going to look, you're like, I'm going to install this and this and this and this and let's see what it looks like. Eh, it's great. No. It's, I know what that looks like right now. It's no point. So.
I still didn't do that. I mean, I think I got a lot of games that really, I don't think it would benefit from a really powerful graphics card like Papers, Please.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
Gunpoint.
Maybe.
I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
Gunpoint, you know, games of that nature.
Uh-huh.
The retro look.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. So it wouldn't really benefit. So I got a bunch of those in my library, but I never had the zeal to install them mm-hmm. in Steam so far.
No, I know the feeling. To go through the chat room here. Still one of the best positions. Let's hope the mindset is show the game when it's ready and not to cram people in an office and pump out something. That was probably the E3 talk. I like the NES and SNES games, says Kirk80294. Forgot how difficult they are. Never played Outer Wilds. Switch is a great console for people who missed the Xbox 360 PS3 generation. Played Lost Vikings on the Genesis. Axiom Verge was good. Same. It was fun. Blackthorn 2. I've wishlisted the sequel on Epic. Destiny 2 and Path of Exile are my two go-to games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Destiny 2, yeah. Nabokov, which case did you use? Dynamic 011 or was it the XL one? Dynamic 011, not the XL. That is the case I went with, mainly because of the space that I had to work with. I wanted to go to the XL. I liked the amount of room it gave. I liked that I had space for an extra fan, which meant more...
good airflow.
Which meant more glowy stuff to make it run better, which is sarcasm. but I couldn't do the XL because it was too tall and too wide. The height, like the width, it was going to hang off the shelf. And because it was too tall, I couldn't push it under the shelf that it would be under.
So you're on a shelf in your, you got a multi-section
the
desk
way
or
that,
something?
Yeah, the way that my desk is, it has, the desk is itself, and then it has these shelves that are towards the back
off the desk.
Off
like shelves, yeah.
Yeah. It's a corner desk, by the way. It goes right into corner the corner, desk, so yep. You have this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got shelves all over it. But the XL was too wide for it to sit there, and I couldn't push it under anything.
Yeah.
So I had to go with the regular Dynamic, which was not wide enough to fit, but because it was so short, I could push it in there, and it would fit easily. In fact, fit better than the case that I had.
Mm-hmm.
The case that I had wouldn't go under the shelf either, but... it was not wide enough to sit off the desk.
Mm-hmm.
It would fully fit on the desk, just wouldn't go under the shelf. This one is wider than my old one, but it's enough to go under the shelf, and there you go.
Yeah.
That's why I did everything that I did. Really solid build and looks absolutely amazing. I was going to ask if you were going to try to grab the new AMD cards. No, I'm still going to be an NVIDIA boy, man. I'm still going to be doing Team Green.
Until someone comes up with something better.
I, you know, probably, and there's arguments to make that maybe the AMD cards are better than the
You find yourself having brand loyalty and things like that? You're going to stick with this brand no matter what?
Yeah, maybe. I would say.
Components in particular. What components in particular would you say you're a brand loyalist on? I mean, they've never done you wrong. So you're going to stick with them until something drastic happens or
right.
something much better comes along.
Yeah, I have, as far as power supplies are concerned, I've ditched Corsair because the Corsair that I had died on me.
Died, yeah.
So there's my experience with like, well, guess I can't really trust you on a power supply.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can. I think it was just, you know, there's a lottery to it, you know?
Yeah.
And the card that I drew on that one just happened to be one that was going to be faulty a few years down the line.
I think hard drives for me because I've
Western Digital is one I'll just never break away from.
As far as
mechanical hard drives, Western Digital is one I'll never break away from. Solid state drives, I'm sort of like open to the idea of what's the speed on this?
Yeah.
You know, once I found out, oh, it's really good speed. Well, what's the brand? Is it quality? Are we good with this? What's the price? You know, so many things go into the factorization of that. But when I'm looking for like a mechanical hard drive, Western Digital, here's my money.
Black, blue,
black.
Or black, yeah, Western Digital black is when I bought that.
Black 7200 RPM.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so. hadn't failed on me yet. I mean, I'm still kind of skittish about failing anything. I mean, I still back it up regularly, but hasn't failed. I mean, what's that saying? Better to need it and not have it than have it not that backup ready at all times.
I mean, you know, it used to be obvious. I say I used to be. I've only built. This is my third PC build.
Mm-hmm.
This is my third PC build. So I've only done Intel for the past two builds, and this one I went AMD for my processor.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is because I guess I'm not brand loyal.
Mm-hmm.
If there is something better. So in other words, here's a way to look at it. I went AMD this time, but let's look at the power supply issue I told you about. Corsair blew up on me, that sort of thing. I went with the EVGA, and that thing has been running great. No problem ever since I got it back in 2014 or 16, something like that. No problems.
I had a Rosewill that did that.
Yeah.
Rosewill ran a long time before I had any issues.
That's
with that.
Interesting to hear because I always looked at Rosewill as a kind of a not necessarily reliable, but that's interesting to hear.
Yeah. So it is a crapshoot, really.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Yeah.
But if Corsair were to come out with a power supply and everybody just praised it, I would be a little hesitant because of my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But if some other company, and I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, but if some other company who's been around for a while came out and said, here's the best one, I'd be willing to give it a shot, regardless of whatever EVGA has done for me or Corsair. Yeah. But if Corsair did it, I'm a little hesitant because I've been burned.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I haven't been burned with anything else. I did. My very first graphics card was what would be considered an AMD card. It was an ATI at the time, AMD bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Team Red is what it would have been. But the advancements that NVIDIA had made with their physics engines is really what sold me on Team Green at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't push physics like they used to anymore. They haven't updated physics in God knows how many years.
So is it a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type mentality?
I guess they could only go so far with the way they could do, the way they could make fluid or liquid look, or the way they could do splatters or papers or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically Batman Arkham City, by the way, the PC version of that and Borderlands that showed off what PhysX could do. And that's what was like, I want a card that does that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My little AMD thing. Or ATI, or whatever it was, it doesn't do it. So, you know, that switched me to Team Green, and I stuck with them forever.
Yeah.
I say forever. I stuck with them for the next ever. I haven't gone back.
Yeah.
And to look at the NVIDIA stuff, and I know they do some side by side comparisons. For the most part, NVIDIA kind of just edges out over the AMD cards, and I mean just slightly. But regardless, they're both very hard to get right now. So I don't have a new card, but yeah, I'll stick with them on that. You know, case wise, I mean, Lee and Lee, the case that I have with Lee and Lee, and the lights, the fans that I have with Lee and Lee, that was brand new.
Yeah,
And I've loved what I've experienced so far with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, I heard a lot about cases about Lee and Lee.
I'd never heard of them until I did this new build.
Yeah, I mean, when you mentioned it, I looked it up, and it was like folks was like a really talking well
I'd
about
never
it.
Heard of them before I did this new build. I still have never used an SSD before. Oh man, the Blackout fan gets you an SSD, buddy. I have two of them purchased. Haven't fixed the machine yet, but I own one. Seasonic is the PSU brand to get. Again, Seasonic is one I would go with. I know, again, I have not been burned by them, so I am giving them the benefit of the doubt of saying, okay, I can buy your product. Corsair is like, is there something better from somebody else? Because I don't necessarily want to go with them.
The only thing I really got burned on, to my knowledge, really, ADATA. Their flash drives. Mm. I had one. I had a 3.1 USB die in like a couple of months. I think I couldn't even read anything anymore. I couldn't even get access to it. Man, it was like real. Wow, this is as long as you lasted. Man, no wonder you were on sale that week.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, and this goes with not just PC part buying.
There's
it goes
another,
with everything.
There's another one. Nabokov said another one. Kingston burned me a few times too. Yeah,
Kingston. I think I have a Kingston in my rig right now. It's an SSD. No, mm-hmm. It's crucial. Yeah. Not Kingston. Mm-hmm. So here's what's in the PC. The fans are Lee and Lee.
Yeah.
Case is Lee and Lee. The card is an MSI NVIDIA card. Mm-hmm. The power supply is an EVGA. The processor is an AMD. The memory is G-Skill.
Okay.
Because apparently G-Skill makes cards that work well with AMD processors.
RAM?
RAM, yes. Yeah. They make RAM sticks that work well with...
You still went through the PC part picker and make it...
Yeah.
Thing, right? Yeah.
G-Skill. But they make some RAM sticks that work really well.
Okay.
That's what they claim. I think a lot of people say, yeah, you're fine. Whatever. Either way, you're good. It's okay. This does work with that, and it's proven that it works with that, and you're good. But, mm-hmm. you know, those things could still fail. Yeah. And then what else do I have? Have an all-in-one cooler that is also Lee and Lee. First time I've ever done that. This is my first venture into an all-in-one mm-hmm. on the cooling side of things. The drives, I've got a Corsair SSD, mm-hmm. 4.0, whatever the thing is. It was brand new on that. A Western Digital SSD, a Crucial SSD, and a mechanical Western Digital big boy.
Crucial, pretty good, you think?
It well, yes, it is. Okay. At least what I saw there was
solid state drive area. Yeah,
in the solid state drive, there was again. I would follow. There's a subreddit called Build a PC subreddit and Build a PC Sales.
Okay,
Build a PC Sales is where I found a lot of the good deals and where you would see these threads coming up saying, "Alert, this is back in stock." And you'd read the comments of people saying, no, this is the one to get. You know, this is the one you want to get. This
build
is
a build a PC sales.
Build a PC sales okay. is what it is on Reddit. And that's what I use. So, So, talking about PC talk, we're going to get back to our gaming talk when we come back after this break. We have music here from a game on PlayStation 4 or 5. I think you get it free.
Probably on both.
Huh?
Probably on both.
Destruction All-Stars?
Probably on both, no.
Maybe. I know you get it free if you have PS Plus, but also own a PS5. You get it free. And so anyway, this is one of the character themes from Destruction All-Stars. We'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from the recently released Little Nightmares 2. It is the main theme music from that game. I never played the first one. I think I have it through some sort of free something. I can't remember, though. I feel like it was released on PS Plus or something like that, and I've got it.
Didn't Sarah play this? Little Nightmares?
She may have.
Yeah.
I feel like she probably would have, yeah. So yeah, that's where this music comes from. Oh, something else I forgot to mention when I was talking about my PC, the motherboard is MSI as well. So, again, the motherboard was one of those things where it would come in and out of stock, and for the AMD processors, this was like a really good one to have. Mm-hmm. The price was real nice, like $200, and it was very, very versatile and very good to have. The X-something Tomahawk, God. What's weird is like when you're building a PC for the ever how many months it takes you to build a PC, you know the names of every single thing. You know what it is. There's numbers attached to it. There's stupid wording and everything else, but you know it.
Yeah.
You know it by heart. You know it in your head. You know everything.
Because you're researching every part.
I know.
Why, yeah.
It's been not even 6 months since I put all this stuff together, and I'm like, which one is that? It's the Tomahawk. It's the something, but the, you know, can't tell you anything.
I know a brand name, but I don't know the specifics.
Right, exactly. But when you're searching this stuff, you know the specifics of all of it. So anyway, yeah, that's what I forgot to mention the motherboard.
Yeah, what type of graphic cards you got?
That's
got
it. X570. That's what it is. X570 Tomahawk.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I got a what type of card you got? I got a Gigabyte. Which one? I'll have to look it up. It's been a minute.
Mine is an MSI 980 Ti. Yeah. Ti, which I think is what they call it.
Yeah. In my case, it would be the big white one with two fans on it.
That one. Yeah. Narrows it down. Oh, goodness. What else do we have in our news here? Forza Horizon 4 is coming to Steam in March. Mm-hmm. Now, this was 2 weeks ago where EA was apparently going to decide on Anthem's future. Mm. And the article said later this week, EA will decide what's going to happen with Anthem. This was on February the 8th. I never saw a follow-up on this at all.
Yeah.
Did they make a thing? Did something happen? What? I never saw a follow-up. Mm. A lot of people had hope for that game. A lot of people in EA had hope for that game. And there were a few people that I talked to who had hope for that game. But man, that was just a game that was DOA. Mm-hmm. Just as soon as it released, dead.
What was the lowest price you ever seen to that?
It was like $5 yeah. like a month or two later after. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but it was cheap.
Wasn't that officially the quickest and biggest price drop?
I want to say that it was. I want to say it was the fastest price drop I've ever seen on that thing. But yeah, that's what I want to say. Maybe not.
What? $20 on PS4 at GameStop site? No, GameStop. It was $5 at GameStop at one point.
I don't know. It was cheap.
Yeah.
Twas cheap. Let's see. Xbox Series S and X was the number one console of January in the UK gaming charts. Tiny Build has acquired three studios, man. Tiny Build is like the better EA. Like they buy up studios and then let them do what they're supposed to do.
Mm.
Whereas EA is like, we're going to buy up the studio and then we're going to gut you. Tiny Build has added three more studios to its roster, two of which it has worked closely with in recent years. The three new additions are We're Five Gams, Hungry Couch, and Moon Moose. Mm. Total Reliable Delivery Service was one of those. Black Skylands was another, and Cartel Tycoon was another one that they had used with. So, yeah. No figures were disclosed for the acquisitions. Mm. Now, Tiny Build's a fantastic publisher and developer as well. Hmm. But they're doing it right. I really miss seeing them at the shows because I haven't gone to any of these shows. But yeah, they had the big orange section of everything. They were the ones who had the coffins laid out for Graveyard Keeper, the game on Switch,
yeah,
where you could get in the coffin and play the game because that's what it was supposed to be. You know, how it was supposed to relate.
A little showmanship, huh?
Yeah. They've always done really good ways to draw you into their booth.
You're not expecting coffins or anything. They're like, oh, what's going on here?
They would hold their own little press conferences at PAX. One was a murder mystery thing. So, like, they did this whole thing on stage where I guess they hired this company that does, you know, parties and stuff,
mm-hmm.
where they do a murder mystery and you've got to decide who was the killer and how and all this other stuff. In between all of that, they were showing off their new games at the same time. So, and also feeding you and giving you an open bar. Which I don't need to tell you what happened to me a couple of years back.
We don't need to go into that.
Boy.
Still got the NDA on that one.
I will say it's the first and only time that has ever happened.
Last time.
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not one of those who will, you know, say, well, it's the last time for the third time now. No. Mm-hmm.
No.
Stick with that. Whew. Especially because if it's in Seattle, you've got other ways to enjoy. You've got other legal ways to enjoy, mm-hmm. you know, that aren't, yeah, you know, that aren't alcohol based.
Give you a record, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That you'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. There's talk about the controller for your PS5. They've got a drift on the PS5 DualSense controller. A U.S. law firm is investigating possibly a class action suit against them.
Mm-mm.
You know, just replace my controller. That's all.
Yeah.
Hey, your controller has drift. Send it in. We'll replace it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's how you fix it. Yeah, it's a lot of money involved, but go ahead. Do it. I don't know. I haven't noticed drift because I haven't actually played on my PS5 mm-hmm. in a long time. I have downloaded some games for the PS5. Mm-hmm. I say for the PS5. They're actually PS4 games on the PS5.
Yeah.
I went back and I grabbed three specific games, and I can only remember two of them off the top of my head right now. Oh, I know. I downloaded Last Guardian.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see what that looked like on the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
I also downloaded Until Dawn, because I haven't played it, and Detroit Become Human, because I haven't played that yet. So...
Yeah, there's still not enough on the PS5 to merit a purchase for me. I mean,
it's still hard to get those, by the way.
No, it's still hard to get. By the time I get around to it, by the time their library gets bolstered, I'll probably be able to pick one up then. But the remade Demon's Souls, of course, was the title that got my interest. But that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything else on there is on PS4. So nothing really to... rush into right now.
If you've got your Xbox Game Pass, whether it's the Ultimate Game Pass or just regular Game Pass, they've got new games that are available there. Let's see. On February 18th, Code Vein came out on Xbox Game Pass for PC, by the way. Interesting. Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire Ultimate Edition came out on console. Wreckfest came out on console and PC as well. Killer Queen Black will hit the Game Pass on February 23rd. Dirt 5 will hit Game Pass as well. What else do we have? Elite Dangerous, Super Hot, Mind Control Delete. There's a subtitle for that one. So those are your Game Pass games that are coming out. And what else? Oh, yeah, there was something that Microsoft released, a boost feature. The FPS boost for Xbox Series X and Series S. FPS boost will provide a frame rate increase for certain backward compatible Xbox One titles when played on current generation Xbox consoles, doubling or even quadrupling the game's original frame rates. Interesting. FPS boost will initially be available for five games: Far Cry 4, New Super Lucky's Tale, Sniper Elite 4, UFC 4, Jesus, all fours, and Watch Dogs 2.
There's one.
Which is the combo breaker.
Yeah.
but yeah. The frame rate for each of these games will be significantly increased, according to Microsoft, which means 60 FPS in the case of UFC 4 or 120 frames per second for New Super Lucky's Tale. So, interesting that you could be getting that. Also, sticking with Microsoft, they I am a huge advocate for their accessibility peripherals that they did.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I know there was a guy who completely modded his controller, his accessible controller thing, you know, that the one that's got the big buttons and everything else.
Yeah.
I know he completely modded that for his daughter so that she could play certain games. And I can't remember, it's on my Facebook page, and I think we put it on our Facebook page as well, was what the thing he did with this thing so that she could play, and I can't remember what game it was. But the fact it was so easy to work with that thing was gave him the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If they had not made this, she would not be able to play the game that she wanted to play.
Let's see. Was it Breath of the Wild?
Was it? You know what? It might have been.
I got an article that popped up. Father Mod's Xbox was adaptive controller so daughter can play Breath of the Wild.
That was it. Okay. That was it. You're exactly right.
That was in... 1st of January in 2020. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And I love that. And he was actually reached out by a couple of different companies.
Yeah.
Being like, this is fantastic. What else can we do? Like, what else do you need so that your daughter can play whatever it is she wants to play?
Yeah.
Because of the certain condition she had, Nintendo didn't have a controller.
Yeah.
So he had to mod this Xbox controller to work with the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, looking at the article, says he purchased a plastic tackle box, some oversized buttons, and a pair of stand-up arcade cabinet sticks and got to work.
Mm-hmm.
By Sunday morning, he rigged the controller to send inputs to Nintendo's tiny Joy-Con.
Yeah.
And that's how he did it.
I know. And she got to play Zelda.
Yep.
And it was just fantastic. But without this, they wouldn't be able to. Anyway, they have updated their... Microsoft has updated the Xbox Accessibility Guidelines, or XAG, ZAG, I don't know, to help foster more inclusive practices in the games industry. The list includes ways for developers to reduce barriers for disabled gamers, which is exactly what this accessibility guideline is for, is your gamers who want to play but they have some sort of disability makes it harder for them. There's a heap of information in the guidelines to help any developer get started in making their game more accessible. Game difficulty, speech-to-text, audio customization, screen narration, and more. The latest version includes improvements and updates intended to make guidelines even more useful. Improved language to make sure the guidelines are clear and easily understood. Clear goals. There's a ton of stuff for this. Most crucially, however, is the ability for developers to ratify whether their game hits the standard for XAG and where it does not, by those best versed in the guidelines, the accessibility team from Xbox. So now they can send their title to Microsoft, have it analyzed and validated against the recommendations provided by them, and say, here's what you're lacking and how you can fix it, you know, to make it more accessible. Because that's... I would think in making a product of any kind... a physical product of any kind.
Right.
That you can cover so many things that you think, like, okay, do we have our colorblind issues in here? Do we have, what do we do for deaf? What do we do for, you know, blind? What can we do to make the, you know, there's so many different things you can go to, but you're not thinking about, there's probably a ton of other things that you haven't considered that there probably exist at least one, but there's always more.
Or maybe
people who have
something you've considered but can't find a way to implement it yet.
And they've got ways to do that for you.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. So rather than say we're going to make peripherals, we're going to make a list of things available to you from us, which, by the way, I don't think cost anything on their part, so that these developers can make this. And by the way, I also think, and I'd have to look into this, so I could be wrong, it's not limited to something that has to be released on their systems. In other words, you could be making a PlayStation game or a Switch game or something like that, and they would have the ability. Now, it may relate to the controllers and other accessibility items that they have, where it's like, this is the only way you can do this, but I would think, in anything else. I don't think it's like that. Microsoft's very, very open to the accessibility situation. So it doesn't mean that you have to play it on their console. So, yeah. Anyway, I applaud them for that. I applauded them whenever they released this controller. In fact, I do remember I posted something on Facebook whenever they released this controller and talked about it, ever how long ago it was. Mm-hmm. And then I followed up with that article about the father who took that and rewired it so that his daughter could play the game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I love stuff like that. And I like that Microsoft is doing something like that and is not forgetting, which is not to say that Sony's like evil or bad or Nintendo is even doing that, you know. Mm-hmm. I just know Microsoft has taken the lead on this thing, and that's great. Somebody needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And if it helps develop those games for the other systems, then that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, just something to mention. I always, when a company does something good like this, we talk about CDPR getting their stuff stolen. We talk about new games being released. We talk about controversy over at this studio or whatever. But whenever, you know, studio does something good for humanity, I like to give it a lot more share than I do the other, you know.
Yeah, give them props.
What else? I think we're kind of winded down here. Let's see. We hit Kingdom Hearts, backwards compatibility, Nintendo, Bungie. We talked about that. Apple's not having the best time with the. Well, Epic's not having a good time with it either. The whole Apple versus Epic thing.
They still got that petty argument going.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, it's going. It's going.
Okay.
Epic, I want to say, went to court in Wisconsin this past week or the week before.
Okay.
About a certain, they were trying to get something passed there or something to do in Wisconsin, and it didn't. It failed in court.
Mm-hmm.
for it to change. And I can't remember what it was, but it was something having to do with Apple and Epic and everything else. Right. And now Apple is asking Valve to hand over a bunch of Steam info so that it can go to court with Epic with this information. I have no idea what the information is or how it's going to help, or even if Steam is going to give that, or Valve is going to give that info to them. I don't know. That's something that I really haven't followed. I'll follow it when we get a decision and it kind of looks like it's going in a certain direction maybe. Yeah. But up until then, man, it's too... mega billionaire corporations fighting for billions or for maybe millions, actually. I really don't know, but still, it's like, you stop. Both of you. I hate to both sides of subject. I always hate to both sides of subject.
No, they won't. There's money involved.
But it's like, stop. You know,
no, money.
Apple's got some horrible things, and Epic, you're asking for some horrible things, or you're doing some horrible things. I mean, yeah. It's both of you. Stop it. Anyway, we should stop our thing because we are running out of time. You know what? I didn't do a chat room roll call here. Let's see who we got in the room. Users in chat. What do we got here? Steven Van Damme, Nabokov Fan 87, Idolara, Green Galore, Duke Frukum, Droop Dog, Commander Root, Casket Sharp. We've got Casino Thanks, Biosk 1, A10, Arioka, AC Wraith, all hanging out in the chat room. Thank you guys so much for showing up, you know, after the two-week vacation here that we had. Or it's really just a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So appreciate you guys very much. Don't forget to join our Discord. There is a link there. We're going to put a link up on our Facebook page and around to our other pages as well so you guys can get to our Discord and join us. Thanks for everybody who listens to the show each week, grabs it for the stream, grabs it off of YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch, subscribe to our Twitch channel. You'll get notified every time we go live, which is really just this day. You know, we might go live throughout the week at some point, but we haven't done that in a while. And also, you know, let you know when we go, when a video is published on our YouTube page mm-hmm. as well. Discord, like I said, we'll get that up. Just, you know, thanks so much for hanging around. You guys have a fantastic week. And we're going to see you next Saturday. Going to leave you here with music from Super Mario. Oh, God. What is it? Super Mario 3D World? Whatever.
That.
It's the one. It's the new one that was re-released this past Friday with that extra Bowser's Fury added on to it for the Switch. This is not music I expected to hear out of a Mario game, of all things. It's very bombastic. Enjoy. We'll see you next week. Sounds apocalyptic. I mean, it's even got the vocals and stuff
written all over it.
It's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Final boss battle.
This is actually Showdown with Fury Bowser is the name of the track.
Oh yeah, last boss battle.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.